Welcome to the Reinvention Diaries, a podcast where we talk to women about reinvention, rediscovery and regaining confidence. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Nicola. And we're both women who have done all of those things. And we're on a mission to help other women do the same.
Oh, yes, we are.
One day I'm going to learn that intro.
Yeah, we read it out.
But you just started reading that then. And I thought, oh, shit, I haven't even got it on my page. And I had to go flick through my notebook really quickly and present like I'd actually remembered it, but I hadn't.
You'd think we would know it by now, to be
honest. It doesn't matter how much I practice it. If I try and get that in my brain, it is not going to go in because I'm putting pressure on myself to learn it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like remember my number plate. Never going to do that either.
You don't know your number plate?
I forget it. You know when you're presented with those screens that say, put your number plate in, I go,
Oh, really?
And then I remember it eventually, but it's just like that panicky bit.
You know when you go networking and you've got your minute to say whatever it is about yourself?
And you forget your own name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a planned or do you wing it?
I wing it.
Yeah.
Most of the time. There's not many networking groups I go to where they expect you to be really succinct with that. But I do wing it. But then sometimes I sit down and think, oh, I should have said this.
Yeah.
It's like when you're confronted by a horrible situation and you walk away and you think, damn it, I should have said this. Sometimes presenting your introduction is a bit like that at networking.
Yeah, I know what you mean. When I did my course last year, you wrote out your minute. You did it. And then you were encouraged to learn it. And actually, when I did learn it, it did sound much better, I think, and I've lost it again.
Do you think we should try and wing it next time?
Oh, my God.
It's going to go wrong, isn't it?
Really badly.
I mean, it'll be funny.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
We could always re-record it.
That's true. And I wanted to ask you about something which you said you were going to try in a previous podcast. Might even be like 4 podcasts ago or something.
Oh, good God, what is this? What did I promise I was going to do?
You promised me that you were going to try having a cold shower. Not a whole cold shower, just the last minute or 10 seconds.
I did say I was going to try this, didn't I? And I did try it for a week.
For a whole week?
Yeah.
Did you?
I did try, yeah. So I would have a nice warm shower and then I'd turn it to cold. And I managed to do it for 10 seconds and then I sacked it off, to be honest.
Really?
I thought, I spent all that time in the shower getting warm. Why the hell am I going to turn it to cold? And then just, I would stand there and go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Did you not feel invigorated and energised?
No, I felt freezing.
No, I love it. No.
I couldn't see the benefits of it, if I'm honest.
Really? Yeah. I love it.
Tell me what you love about it.
It makes me feel really energised and it sparks my brain and stuff.
It just made my dogs break the door down to the bathroom.
Worried about you.
Mummy, what's wrong? Who's attacking you?
I wouldn't do it if I was having a shower at night, but my morning shower, definitely.
I did try it because you said it was good. And I see lots of people having ice baths and things on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lie. I think they're in warm water with pretend looking ice.
I want to try that.
Do you? Have you tried a plunge pool?
Years ago at Centre Parks, the kids were little, so 10 plus years ago. And I didn't love that, I'll be honest, I didn't love it, but I was a different person then.
Well, you see, I have tried one of those plunge pools, and I think that might have been at Centre Parks, actually. And it was just like this little round hole in the floor, and you're supposed to jump in there. And I had this little inkling of fear at the back of my brain, like, what if it sucked me off somewhere? You go down a tube somewhere.
That wasn't my worry.
Wasn't it?
No, my worry was like, it's going to be cold.
But that was the worry
did
as well.
Did you do the ice bucket challenge?
No, I didn't.
Did you not?
No.
It had a bit of a resurgence this year, didn't it? Did you see that?
Oh, yes, I did. I saw people doing it and I thought, well, that's weird. That was ages ago.
Yeah, I didn't do it this time around, but my kids did.
Being cold doesn't appeal to me.
No, I hate being cold.
Don't like being cold.
No, if I'm given the choice of being hot or cold, I'll be hot every time. But there's something about the cold shower that I really like.
So how are you going to try this cold plunge pool-y thing?
I don't know, because short of buying one, it's not going to happen. When I've mentioned it to my husband, he's looked at me like, you're insane.
Yeah, because how are you supposed to keep it icy cold?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it. You keep filling it up. I don't know. I don't know how they work.
Could you just, like, fill a freezer full of water and jump in that? But then I've seen too many true crime things.
Oh, see, that's it.
You'd be frozen in a block of ice and they'd just shut the freezer and leave you there.
Oh, no, I watched a Drummer Tells the Unexpected.
Wow, you're showing your age there, love.
Well, yeah, and I'm a year older than you, I think. But you remember it, don't you?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
And there was one that I remember watching, and I really shouldn't have been watching it when I was quite small, about someone who was locked in a sauna.
Has that freaked you out forever? Do you not go in saunas now?
No, I do, but I do always think of that when I go in. I think it was in someone's home sauna that this happened. So there was a husband that was some vendetta against his wife.
Oh. Do you know, that's just triggered a memory for me.
Has it?
Yeah, because I can remember watching a Tales of the Unexpected and being really quite impressed by it because it was about...
Would it give you some ideas?
It did give me some ideas, actually. It was about committing what seemed like the perfect crime. So the person in the programme was murdered by somebody with a chicken, like a frozen chicken or something. They were beaten to death with this frozen chicken. And then the woman then cooked the chicken and served it to the policemen that were around her house investigating the murder. So, like, murder weapon had gone. I was like, brilliant. Storing that one in the memory banks.
I love that. That is brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, we're not here to talk about beating someone up with a frozen chicken.
Are we?
No.
No.
No, sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, otherwise that'd be it.
Well, did you see how motivated I became then to talk about that?
Yeah, you were so excited. Yeah.
Let's talk about bumping people off with frozen chickens. What are we here to talk about?
We're here to talk about getting visible, which is your thing.
My thing, yeah.
Well, both of our things, but certainly you have said, I will die on this hill.
I will, because I truly, truly believe that women need to take up more space. We are talking specifically about being in business today. So it is our duty when we start a business to make sure that we are visible and do the absolute best that we can to make that business succeed for not just our benefit, because we're doing it for an income, mm-hmm. but actually for all those people that are watching us and for all those people that we are setting an example for, our children, other women that might be afraid to do it. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we've got a voice. We don't need to sit in a corner.
No.
Yeah, take up more room.
Take up more room. Be visible. Be awesome.
It's really important to be visible in your business, particularly as you're starting out, so that people know who you are.
So that people notice you.
Exactly. People buy from people. That's a really old thing that people say, and I've said for years, and will continue to say, because it's true. There might be lots of people who do what you do. However, you are your unique selling point.
You are your brand.
You are your brand. So you need to get yourself out there and be seen.
And what we mean by you are your unique selling point and you are your brand is that, personal example, I'm a brand photographer. There are many, many other brand photographers.
Yeah.
We all do the same thing. We all turn up. We all, you know, learn about your business. We all take pictures of your business in whatever our style looks like. But what makes a customer choose me over somebody else is me.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to know me. They've watched what I do. And they could go to any other photographer and get the same service, the same product, but they come to me because they want to work with me.
Yeah.
I am my brand.
Yeah. I have a similar thing for what I do. People have got to spend time with me. I often go to people's houses, and so people need to get to know me to feel I'm a friendly face before they invite me into their home. I don't want them to have to worry about making conversation with me or whether I'm a nice person, whether I'm going to make them feel comfortable, because they need to feel that before they book with me.
Absolutely. And somebody will watch you for a very long time.
They will.
Let's face it, you and I both provide a service where we reveal people's vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
Being in front of the camera is a very vulnerable place, but opening their wardrobe to you.
Oh, it's quite an intimate experience. Mm. People get very nervous.
Look at my fashion mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's often messy. I get that. Oh, I tidied my wardrobe before. Why? Because we're going to go through it anyway.
Mm.
Or you're going into someone's bedroom, which is a personal space.
It's hugely personal, isn't it?
Well, even when you go around to your friends' houses, your close friends, you very rarely go to their bedroom.
I don't think I've ever been in a friend's bedroom.
Yeah. Not very since you were like a teenager.
I know. It's weird, isn't it? It's the fear of being judged, isn't it?
Yeah.
And your job as a business owner to make yourself visible is to answer frequently asked questions that people have.
Exactly.
And to allay any fears that they might have about contacting you in the first place. They might have some really deep-seated misconceptions about what it's like to work with a personal stylist.
Yeah.
They might think that they're going to get some madcap creative person that's going to make them wear polka dots and stripy hats.
Yeah, or some snooty person's going to waft in a sea of caramel.
Yeah.
I don't mean that literally, I mean in a caramel colour.
Yeah. Wandering in a caftan and a turban or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they need to have these fears allayed to the point where they think, I can really work with Michelle. I feel like I'd get on. I feel like I would like her. But they will only get to know you
if I put myself out there
and make yourself visible, which actually, for a business owner, for us, is also a vulnerable place to be.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Oh, it's scary. Putting yourself out there is really frightening.
And it's one of the reasons why we don't do it, why lots of people don't do it. Sometimes you do it under duress.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't all, when we first started our business, go, oh, right, now I need to have some photos taken. I need to take
need to do a video.
Yeah, I need to post it on social media. I want everybody I know to see it.
And I need to do it 3 times a week.
Yes. Nobody goes on and looks forward to that part of their business, unless that's their business and they love it. But it's a very vulnerable place.
I know. But
I've seen you flouncing around. Yeah, I know you
exactly,
love it.
Exactly. Yeah. But a lot of people don't.
Yeah. We do a lot of networking. We see a lot of customers who don't do it and who we try to convince that they need to do it for all the reasons that we've just spoken about. But why don't we do it?
I think we worry that we're showing off, but it's not showing off.
It's not showing off. It's showing up. It's showing up for your customers. And when we say showing up, what we mean is showing up to address all of those fears that somebody might have, showing up to make yourself visible, showing up to make yourself relatable and memorable.
Yeah.
So that when somebody needs what you sell, there is no other choice. Yeah. They remember you.
I remember when my girls used to dance a lot, well, one still does. And I used to always say, well, you need to put some more into it. We need to make more smile, more this, more that, more, you know, pizzazz. I would get, oh, it's too showy-offy, is what they used to say to me. But actually, from an audience point of view, the ones that were showy-offy were the most entertaining. You could have two dancers that were virtually the same, but the showy-off one was much more entertaining.
And memorable. And I think that's one of the things, isn't it? When we say that we don't make ourselves visible, because we're often scared of being centre stage. We're often scared of being the centre of attention, because all of our lives we're told not to make ourselves centre of attention.
Exactly.
Don't stop showing off.
Yeah.
Stop, you know, stop behaving like that.
Yeah.
And it
put
just
up and
goes
shut
in.
Up.
Yeah. Goes in. That little voice in your head is like, I can't do that.
I can't do that.
I've been told to sit down and shut up.
But
and
actually,
no.
Stand up and stand out.
Sod that.
Yes.
Who's going to shut up? But you're right. We don't want to be centre stage. We don't want to show off. But actually, like you say, it's not showing off. It's showing up. You need to show up. You're doing it for yourself and you're doing it for your business.
Yeah.
But often another reason why we don't do it is because you might not know where to start. It might not be a confidence thing. It might be, well, how do I do that? And it's a marketing thing.
Yes, because of course, when you have your own business, you have to have all the hats.
You do. Because if you're in business, you're not only in the business of doing the thing that you do, you are in the business of marketing and sales.
Yeah, and that's a massive part of
having
your own
skill.
Business. It's a very different skill, and it's one which I think people find really difficult. I think people don't understand it or don't know how to do it. Or social media, it's an absolute minefield. How does it work?
What is a marketing strategy? How do I do that? How do I plan it?
Do you know what someone said to me about, because marketing strategy, you used to think, what the hell's a marketing strategy? Do you know what strategy is?
No.
It's a plan. That's all it is.
Well, we both know we don't plan.
Well, I know that, but it sounds so much easier when you say marketing plan rather than marketing strategy. That sounds like it has to be something that's really...
It does sound like a big scary word, actually, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? I think plan is so much better.
But if you need a plan and you don't know where to start, shall I tell you what I do?
What do you do?
ChatGPT.
Do you know what? That's such a good tool, isn't it?
It is. Not an expert. And what I would really love is somebody to do my marketing, somebody to do my social media.
Wouldn't we all?
And we would love somebody to do all of those things. And if you are in business and you have somebody to do all those things for you, absolutely brilliant, because we are all experts in our own thing. And there are some fantastic marketing agencies and freelancers and people that can help you. But if you can't afford that, we can't all afford to have 10 employees or something, take advantage of the tools that you've got. I use ChatGPT, other AI tools are available, and I ask it every month to create me a marketing strategy for that month. And I ask it to tell me what my content strategy should be. And you have to train it to do it. But it gives you a plan. It doesn't mean you can deviate from that plan if you want to, but it gives you a plan. It gives you a starting place. And it gives me a tick list.
That's a good thing. I've never thought about using ChatGPT for that.
Oh, let me show you my ways.
You need to show me your ways. Absolutely show me your ways.
That's a good place to start your visibility strategy. And if you don't know where to start, there are people that you can talk to.
Oh, yeah. Just anybody else in business.
Yeah. People are not scary. If you're a woman in business, ask another woman in business. They will help you.
Yeah.
They will tell you what
they
do. They will tell you how they do it. They will tell you about the best people they've met that can help you.
Or follow other people on Instagram or Facebook or whatever social media it is that you want to be part of. Mm-hmm. Follow them, see what other people do.
Yeah. Sometimes we're intimidated by people that are doing better than us. Somebody, you know, if I follow other brand photographers, I look at them and think, oh, I don't know why I didn't take pictures from that angle. And I follow these people and I watch them. And I used to think, I need to up my game or something. But actually now I watch them and think, right, they are doing the things that I want to do. Let me analyse what they're doing.
Exactly. Use them as inspiration, yeah, rather than comparison.
Absolutely. Comparison is crippling.
It's the killer of all joy.
It is.
Yeah.
Much like decaf coffee.
Killer of all joy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. And green tea.
Oh, no, I like green tea.
Oh, God. Again, we differ. So be invisible. So important, but we don't do it. We don't do it because we're scared. We don't do it because we don't want to show off, or we don't know where to start.
I think we need to put yourself in your customer's position. Mm-hmm. Think about how they would feel or what they would do if they saw you or they didn't see you. Because I think about the amount of times that I've rung places up or I've been online with a different company and you're pushed from pillar to post and you're talking to a chatbot or you're just going round and round in circles and I just want to speak to a person. How many times do you hear that?
So often.
Yeah.
And people get irritated if they can't find what they need or if they're confused.
Yeah, exactly.
They're confused by everything that's put out. A confused mind says no.
Yeah, exactly.
But also an angry mind will just go somewhere else.
So I think maybe you start off, it doesn't have to be your face that's in the videos or content that you're putting out there. It could be your product.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you talk over it and you build up to showing your actual self.
Yeah, you build your confidence.
Yeah.
Start small.
Yeah.
You don't have to be all gung-ho and you don't have to be over everything to start with, because we all know that we're scared of what people will think.
Yeah. And we're so scared of judgment, aren't we?
So scared. And it's so crippling sometimes that the thought of putting your face on your social media or your website can actually be crippling to the point that you don't do it at all. You don't do anything.
No.
And then you don't actually put your testimonials out and you don't put your products or your voice on, because the whole thing is tainted with this fear. But if you start small, like you say, mm-hmm, a voiceover in a video or a testimonial, put some carousels on, just something that makes you visible, and you can start to then feed yourself in when you get a little bit braver.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, nobody else is going to do it for you.
No. Do you know what my favourite saying is?
Go on.
Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yes.
If sometimes you just have to live with that fear and do it, and then the next time you'll get a little bit braver and a little bit braver, to the point where you'll look back and think, wow, I don't recognise that person anymore. I don't recognise that scared person that was scared of being seen, that didn't know what to do, that was scared what people were going to think of them.
Yeah.
You look back and you don't recognise that person, but it is so important to be visible.
Yeah. Got to be seen. Got to be seen, guys.
You have.
Yeah.
And one of the things I often say to people is, if we were in the day when there was no internet and you had a physical shop and you were in your shop selling your thing and next door sold the same thing, but you didn't have your shop name on the shop.
Yeah.
You didn't have any information on the windows. You didn't have any of your products in the windows. And when you went inside the shop,
you weren't there.
You weren't at your cash register.
Yeah.
You weren't in your uniform. So when people were inside and they were looking around, they didn't know who worked there. They
yeah.
couldn't tell who you were. Maybe you didn't have any information on the shelves to say what your products were. It's very unlikely that anybody would walk into your shop and go, oh, what do you do? Tell me about your thing. They're just going to go next door.
They're not going to go next door.
They're going to go next door to the people that have got their signs up. They're going to go to the place where the person's got their name badge on.
Yeah.
And they clearly work there and their products are on the shelf and they're clearly labelled.
They will. Yeah.
And that's the difference between being visible and being invisible, because you might as well be invisible if you're not telling people who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
Your products and your service and your testimonials will only go so far.
That's true. You are an extra facet in your business.
The most important one.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, me too.
I would say so, for sure.
Yeah, and if there is a certain thing that's holding you back, I obviously do photo shoots for people, but one of the first things people say to me when they book a photo shoot is, what shall I wear?
Yeah.
I don't know what to wear. And I say, well, funnily enough, I know a person. I know someone that can help you. And it's amazing how confident people feel when that thing that's holding them back, one of the things that's holding them back that they're scared of,
yeah.
is suddenly sorted. So when someone turns up at their photo shoot and you've dressed them and you've styled them and you've helped them,
yeah.
you just see an extra...
Yeah, different level.
A different level of
yeah.
confidence.
Yeah.
And it exudes from them. And
yeah,
it makes
really does.
Such a difference.
It really does. I always say, when you look good, you feel good.
Absolutely.
There is something in that. And people will say, oh, I don't care what I wear. Oh, I'm not bothered. I'm not sure that's strictly true, because actually, if someone says to you, oh, you look nice, That's always going to make you feel good.
You feel good, don't you? You always feel good when someone notices that you've made an effort, or somebody notices that you're wearing something different.
Yeah.
Or even if you've done your hair differently or something like that. When someone notices and says something, you do feel good.
You do. And I say to my clients, the world is not going to fall off its axes if you wear a different coloured top to what you're used to.
No. You might feel slightly conspicuous at first. But when people notice and they comment, you feel amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so our takeaway from this is, it's so important to be visible. We know you're scared, but you're going to feel the fear and you're going to do it anyway. And if you really can't get past that, go and speak to some people that can help you. I'll help you. Michelle will help you.
Yeah.
Anybody else in business will help you.
Yeah.
Because we've all been there.
Oh, we have.
We've all been that scared person that didn't want to do it. I mean, sometimes you might wish that we were still there because, you know, you see too much of us and you wish we'd shut up. But
there's always the option of turning off.
Nah.
Let's look at that option. Nah.
So if you want to email us to talk about visibility, how you can be visible, tell us about your problems with visibility. What scares you? What's holding you back? What's stopping you doing it?
We'd love to hear from you.
And our email address is
studio@thereinventiondiaries.com.
No!
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 Oh, God! I thought I had it. I had it.
The last few podcasts.
Okay.
But if anybody could see the smug look on your face then, it was completely misplaced.
I'm so sorry. Okay. studio@thereinventiondiaries.co.uk.
Yes!
co.uk.
Visibility, questions, queries, comments.
Bring us in.
We would love to read them out because no question is a silly question, and there are going to be so many people that want to know the answer to the question that you're going to ask.
That was one of the things, actually, when I first started my business, was that someone said to me that's really stuck is no question is a silly question.
Never.
Never, ever.
No question is ever a silly question.
No, and I've never been made to feel like that, ever.
No one's ever made me feel stupid.
No.
I've made myself feel stupid many
times. Well, many times. Okay, then. Tell me your random act of kindness this week, Nicola.
Well, this week, actually, I'm going to keep my random act of kindness to myself, and I'm going to give a shout out to somebody else's random act of kindness.
Okay.
Because sometimes I think it's good to recognise other people. And
you're so kind.
I know. Mainly because I haven't done anything this week and I'm grasping at straws. But every day when we go and walk our dogs,
yeah,
me and my husband will go to the parks, wherever we walk the dogs. Some of our dogs are dickheads, so we have to take them to quieter places sometimes. And they do their business. And my husband, because it's a blue job, goes and picks up after them. But he always finds other people's messes and picks up too. Yeah, because he can't bear to see other dogs' messes around. He doesn't understand why other dog owners don't pick it up. I mean, there are some occasions when you don't notice your dog behind you if they're off leads and things. And he always picks some up.
That is a really kind gesture, actually.
It is really
because
kind.
Because I was walking the dog last night and two dogs had done their business in my path. And I thought, I should pick this up, shouldn't I? But it's a bit like changing another child's nappy, isn't it? It's not yours.
It's just a bit weird.
Yeah.
And I have tried to pick up other dogs' messes and I just can't. It's cold and grim and no.
No. Well,
no. So every single time we go out, he does pick up other people's messes and other people's rubbish as well.
My friend does that. I'll bump into her whilst walking the dog and she'll have a handful of rubbish. And I was like, again, I feel a bit like, eee, don't want to pick up the rubbish.
Yeah.
Which is very selfish of me. If Darren would like to walk down the river by Barkston, that's because...
With his bags.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah, so I thought I would shout out somebody else's random act of kindness.
Well, good one. Yeah.
What about you? What have you been up to?
Well,
in the kindness stakes.
Well, in the spirit of using somebody else's random act of kindness, I'm going to go with someone that I know that did something kind. And in fact, she does it on a regular basis.
Mm. Is this because you haven't been randomly kind this week?
Of course not. I've been very kind. I'm just leaving it. Until
okay. You're saving them up. Go on then.
Yeah, of course. What she does is, you know, when you put your pound in the trolley.
Yeah.
She quite often leaves the pound in there.
Does she?
Yeah, so when the next person comes along, it's ready there waiting for them.
Oh, that's nice.
It is quite nice, isn't it? And then in hope that the next person will leave the pound in and then...
Paying it forward?
Yeah.
I wonder if they do leave it in. Well, even if they take it, they take it. Some people, a pound makes a big difference.
Yeah, but I thought that's a really nice thing to
do. That is a really nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Maybe we could all do something like that.
Well, it's only little, isn't it? A pound, you know, for most of us, and like I say, for a lot of people it makes a big difference, but for most of us, a pound.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
So there we are.
Wonderful. So for those weeks when Michelle and I have not been randomly kind. We'd love to read out your random acts of kindness. So
yeah.
Again, email us at
studio@thereinventiondiaries.co.uk.
Yay! Yes. Let us know your random acts of kindness. We'd love to read them out. We'd give you a shout out, whether you pick up other people's poop and rubbish or leave a pound or do something on a much grander scale.
Yeah.
A random act of kindness doesn't have to be massive.
No, it doesn't.
Let us know what it is. We'd love to read it out.
We certainly would. I think that's it for this week, though.
I think it is.
Okay. Well, I'll see you next week.
See you soon.